Well, hi again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Big Red Report. I am Athletic Director Josh Blumenthal, and sitting across the table from me is a pair of new kids on the block, and I say that literally and figuratively because they are my neighbors, as well as new administrators here, and that is Mrs. Carrie Alborn and her, we'll say, better half, Seth Alborn. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Blue.
Thanks, Blue. Great to be here.
So Carrie is our Director of Advancement, new in this role, but certainly not new at the role itself, but new here. And Seth is the Director of Academic Innovation and Curriculum, and previously has been a head of school at a number of schools. So he certainly has also been around the block. And so their talents have been brought to Beaver Dam. LeBron went to South Beach, and the Alborns went to Beaver Dam. So let's talk first, Carrie. Let's start with you. Talk a little bit about what I just said in regards to your experiences in independent schools.
Absolutely. It's been 4 decades that I've been working in independent schools. And I was fortunate. My alma mater, North Vermont Herman School, they called me when I was a senior in college and said, hey, we're interviewing 10 young alumni to work in development. Would you be interested in applying? And I said, oh, I'd love to work at the school, but what's development? And they're like, oh, it's fundraising. And I'm like, oh, I can do that. And then it started from there. And I did get the job and have fast forwarded here to Beaver Dam. Along the way, Seth and I actually, when we met in Minneapolis, he was not in schools, but was a product of an independent school, Kent School. And so we quickly, you know, got to chatting and talking and falling in love. And then we ended up being recruited after that as a couple. And so it's really been engaging. It's been an honor to work at different schools. But then coming to Wayland, it kind of feels as though we've come home. This is where we belong because of the mission of the school, the history, and of course, with everyone's vision here, including your own. So
awesome. And Seth, you have the distinct, I say honor, you might say it differently, you have the distinct honor of being the only person I've ever met to run 2 schools at the exact same time as the head of school. So talk about your tenure as a head of school and academics and kind of maybe how it brought you to Wayland.
Sure. So what you're referring to, Blue, is I was in charge of Henderson International School in Henderson, Nevada, and Rancho Solano Preparatory School in Scottsdale, Arizona, as head of school for both, same company, owned them, but I split my time between those two locations. Over 20 years, I've run 4 different schools, and I've been very excited to take academics to a new level at each location. I started out as an athletic director at Kimball Union Academy and then became Dean of Students and Dean of Community Life at Brewster Academy before becoming a head. What's been exciting coming to Beaver Dam is taking a look at the innovation which is possible after COVID, because every school is really a brand new place. Kids are in different places after having different experiences in different places. So we're really excited about taking everything to the next new level.
Sounds good to me. Talk a little bit about, and I'll throw this out for either of you, you can both answer one and wants to take this one. How did, you know, let's fast forward, what, geez, maybe 9 months ago, 10 months ago. How did Wayland come into your glass, crystal glass ball there of what the next move was going to be? How did Wayland come on the radar map for you?
Well, I'll take that one because it was kind of last fall, kind of up around Thanksgiving time, that Seth and I took a real careful look at where we were and where we were headed. And we decided we kind of wanted to be in the same school because we were living in Arizona. He was running Rancho Solano, but yet I was working for a school in Massachusetts remotely. And, you know, it was this dynamic that we really weren't in the same place at the same time kind of thing. And both of us were thinking, how can we make the biggest impact? And we said, well, if we're in the same school, that could make a big difference. And Seth was even thinking, you know, to be head of school, it's a whole different bailiwick than being the director of innovation, as some are calling it now. And we applied with this company called Carney Sando, and they're located in Boston, and they specialize with independent schools looking for administrators. And they shared a lot of schools with both of us. And when Wayland Academy came across, both of us, we kind of ran to each other and said, number one choice. And then as soon as we had a chance to talk with Jason, it stayed number one. And then we were fortunate enough that we were number one in Jason's eyes. And he was able to offer both of us the positions. And we did not ask for the weekend, to think about the offer. We said yes, right there on the phone. And so it was, I don't know how many months in coming. I mean, from November until April. So it was a very interesting journey. And we're glad that it brought us here to Beaver Dam.
Awesome. And Seth, to that point, you have some history in Madison, both in the past and in the future now. You have at least one set of family members here in the Madison area. I know because I drove you to the house to get the top of the car, so I know this for a fact. But just talk about you're a Badger. Just talk about kind of your experiences in Madison and maybe, I say we're in the shadows of Madison and Beaver Dam. Just how exciting was it for you to come home, to have a homecoming, so to speak, for you?
Well, it's been terrific. Actually, driving around Madison, I'm showing Carrie different things and old haunts, and she's like, "Why do you know that place?" whatever, right? So, I did graduate school here in. The building is now torn down, right? The old Natatorium building is gone, and the new one is going up, which is exciting to see. I did my degree in cardiac rehabilitation and exercise physiology, studying the rowers, big surprise there, at UW, and did my dissertation, my thesis on that. But it's been great. We have a daughter, and her family is right there in Madison. We've got two granddaughters right there, so... they're both getting into school, and it's just a fabulous kind of family time to be a whole lot closer than we used to be than being out west.
So I'm going to ask a question that, Kara, I want you to start the answer, and Seth, I want you to finish the answer. And Kara, you told me this a few weeks ago. We were talking about kind of your background, and specifically Seth as an AD, which you certainly alluded to earlier, Seth, but you said to me, and I don't want to phrase it, I want you to phrase it, Seth had a great saying that he would say with regards to winning and losing, and I'd love you to share that, and maybe, Seth, if you could elaborate on, it might be obvious, but maybe if there's anything you want to elaborate on with that saying. Do you know what the saying is? Okay, good. I just want to make sure this isn't going to catch you by surprise.
No. Seth, and it's almost from the minute I met him, and he would talk about his experiences as an athlete, as a coach, and then as, we went through schools and he became the athletic director and then head of school, that it's important to win without boasting and to lose without excuse.
Would you like to elaborate on that, or is it pretty
Sure.
self-explanatory?
Well, I think the saying is self-explanatory, but the issue, and like I talk with kids today, is we're not going to play better than we practice. And we have to have these other teams so that we can test ourselves against them. They test themselves in practice, we test ourselves in practice, and we come together for a contest. And whoever wins or loses or draws, it's all about thinking about your own preparation for that next step. So if you haven't practiced well, you really shouldn't go into the game thinking, oh, wow, this is, we're going to win this right out of the bat. So it's all about thinking about the day-to-day, sort of every 5 minutes in practice, you're thinking about what you're doing and getting ready for that next thing. And actually, over time, really getting to value those other schools and teams because they're the ones who challenge you to do your best.
I like it. My coach used to say all the time in high school, he would say, you know, practice what you're not good at, but make sure you practice what you are good at, because that's your go-to. You know, so you want to improve on the weakness, but you want to make sure you have the good stuff in the bag too. Carrie, from a development standpoint, and a fundraising or a friend raising or whatever you want to call it, athletics plays into alumni happenings a lot. Alumni, through my experience, always want to talk about sports that have been in there, and it's certainly 1855 here. We've had a boatload of athletes, and we've got some great athletes still. How does the homecoming and you know, just buildings, that just, how does athletics play into the whole scheme of advancement in your eyes?
Well, part of the reason that we do homecoming, that we do reunions, we do area gatherings, is to bring alumni back together to really think about their experience at Wayland. And yeah, remember what it was like to be 16 and 18, but now view it through their lens as an adult. And maybe some of them have children of their own now, or they have grandchildren. And what is it that is important today that they may have learned back in the day? The winning without, you know, boasting, losing without excuse. To be thinking about kind of why is it important to not just memorize the content, but think about the skills you need, you know, to be able to talk about the content. And one of the things we're looking at here is actually separating reunion from homecoming. That reunion would be at a time, maybe in the spring, when there's other things to talk about as well, and to kind of relive exactly the time that you graduated, May, June, and then in the fall do homecoming and actually have more sports. And I know working with you that we can think ahead and maybe schedule more and maybe start alumni kind of sports again. And that, you know, we get a group of guys or women to play soccer against our team based, of course, all on, we don't want anybody to get injured. But to be able to really think about celebrating athletics during homecoming, which is a little bit more traditional than having a full reunion. But it really is an important time in people's lives as they're developing physically as well as emotionally, teamwork, kind of colleagues, looking at the relationship with the coach who might also be your English teacher, and that those, you know, they're still, they are mentors for you, but you're learning different things from them. So we really are hoping that we can engage more alumni through this opportunity to come together.
No shortage of alumni that have gone to do big things in athletics.
Absolutely.
Here at Wayland, which is great. And we've been highlighting some of them, and we'll continue to highlight some of them. And on our new revamped website, we have our college athletes from literally from 1855 all the way to 2021. And this list is pretty astonishing.
It is.
And what's amazing to me, Carrie, if you look at this, is the amount of athletes on there that not only play multi-sports here, but went on to play at the college level, which is not as easy to play multi-sport at college levels. And that's what's pretty exciting to me.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we want to do is, as we go into the different areas around the country that we're visiting with kids who are in college now, and not just waiting until they graduate, you know, that we want to, maybe we can go to one of their games when they're in college. So
and have them come back to school and share
Year
with the kids.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Where are some of the upcoming places? I know Seattle I've seen. Where are some of the upcoming places in the next couple of months that Wayland is getting out and about to?
Well, we're going to Minneapolis for a couple of days in November, and then we kind of skip December. And then in January, we're going to be in Chicago. And then from there, we go abroad. I mean, not abroad. Like, admissions goes abroad, but we go, I mean, further out. And we're going to be spending days and days in Florida and California. We're going to be going to Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., and we're going to rally the troops, and we're hoping to bring Mr. Warnick to all of those areas, because it's important for people to meet him in person, not just on a Zoom. Because last year it was all by Zoom.
Sure, and if Jason, for whatever reason, can't go to Florida in the middle of the winter, I would like to volunteer to be in his stead.
There you go.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Not Boston in the winter, but I'd be happy to go.
Okay, thanks, so. Coach Blue.
You're welcome. I don't know Florida at all.
Always too. A team, but no, I don't know anything about Florida.
Yeah, no.
I don't remember.
Yep.
Seth, so kind of a two-part question, but you know, put on your AD hat here for a second. One of the things that I'm trying to do here, and we've talked about it, is add some some traditional sports, which is non-traditional in this area. So lacrosse being one of them, rowing being one of them, field hockey being one of them, esports being one of them, fencing. We now have a fencing teacher on campus. So your thoughts on that kind of, you know, you're trying to elevate the academic innovation. I'm trying to elevate the athletic innovation. And we're going to have a lacrosse team this spring, which I'm selfishly very excited about. But I think it's going to be great for the school. And we've already got a lot of supporters with that. And then subsequently, your thoughts with rowing, which you and I have been working together on that as well.
So I've always thought that having activities or even classroom activities that kids are passionate about. The librarian, Lori Bird, and I have been talking about the senior capstone, right? Like, let's do what kids are passionate about, not something made up, right? So pursuing some of those things. And I think if we can introduce these sports to kids that they can become passionate about, and many of them are lifelong kinds of activities, that we can really set kids up for a great, you know, recreational lifestyle beyond high school, college, whatever. It's one thing to say, hey, look, I competed in high school and I just wasn't there for college. But to learn to row, that you can then do community rowing. You can do all kinds of things. We're also looking at sailing. Right? I mean, if it's too windy to row, it's great for sailing. So we want to be thoughtful about the whole aquatic waterfront thing. So I think that making the offerings broader, we can certainly, well, there's only so many people we can put on a soccer team, right, in the fall. So many kids we can put in lacrosse in the spring. You can have varsity, JV, et cetera. But again, as we expand the enrollment, there's only so many spots for kids. So having additional sports, being able to draw from a different group of kids who haven't necessarily looked at Wayland yet, or they want to look there and they say, oh, look, Wayland has that too. It's either closer to home or it's got a whole different environment than what I was looking at. I don't want to do winters in Florida. I want to do winters in Wisconsin, right? So, I mean, cross-country skiing could be another one, sure, right, in the winter. So. Yeah. There, I think if we can think about those opportunities that kids want to do and then make them not just a tradition for a short period of time, right? But say, this is something we hang our hat on, I think that's going to be really important for the school.
And just to touch upon rowing, you obviously have a lot of experience. You've coached, you've rowed. I know when we talked a couple weeks ago, you've already investigating some potential boats for us and some other things. That's pretty exciting to bring rowing here. You know, we're in the land of lakes or next to it or whatever the case may be. You guys have lived in Minnesota, not me. But just talk about your excitement with that. And I know, you know, you've said that, you know, you want to be the beginner of it, but you want it to be the Wayland rowing program, which mm-hmm. which is what we want. We want to adopt. We want to pick your brain as much as we can, right. But then we want to adopt it into the same. And I'm doing the same thing with lacrosse. I want to make it, you know, certainly we'll know more than anybody else here about the sport, but it's not just the Josh Blumenthal show. It's the Wayland Academy lacrosse show and subsequently with rowing.
Sure, sure. I think the way this will get started is to have it be a community program just for numbers. It's great to start novices out in 8-person shells so that you can multiply the number of strokes that they take, and it's all about that, right? 10,000 repetitions of something gets you closer to being proficient. So we want to be thoughtful about that in terms of numbers to be able to make up eights. It's a boys' sport and a girls' sport. Boys and girls can row in the same boat. You just generally looking at strength and making sure one side doesn't overpower the other. But the lake is a long lake. There's plenty of room to go out and take a lot of strokes. It's fairly narrow compared to a lot of lakes, the way it's laid out. So wind conditions, even if they rise up, shouldn't be too bad in terms of water mm-hmm. conditions. So looking, actually, you said Minnesota, looking at my old club where I was president at the Minneapolis Rowing Club, they have some boats for us to have a look at. And then down in Des Moines, they have a trailer for us to, because you can't move the boats without a trailer.
And we have a truck that can pull it.
Yeah. That's right.
I thought so, it was like the guys that hold the mattress with one hand on top of the
there
car.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like you put the boat on top.
And one thing, too, about rowing is that it is a lifelong sport. It's also a very social sport. in the sense that people bond together extremely well. You're only as fast as the slowest person in the boat. Mm-hmm. So everybody wants everybody to get better. And there's a lot of potlucks that happen. And people come together. And one of the things I'm excited about is with the sense of it being a community rowing as well, that it's a great way for us to connect with more people in Beaver Dam. We did it in Minneapolis, in Minneapolis, but in Las Vegas, Seth was president of the Lake Las Vegas Rowing Club. People don't think of Las Vegas having a lot of water, but there was one lake there, and now they have rowing. And that means we can do it here.
Absolutely.
So, that's awesome.
Well, we look forward to that.
So,
Seth, you have been, you've told me this, at least you've done it at least once, maybe not rowed at the head of the Charles, which for those that don't know what the head of the Charles is, it's a large regatta held in October every year in the Charles River in Boston. And it is a beautiful, beautiful sight to see. There are colleges, high schools, individuals from all over the world that come there. And it is really a big party, and to, you know, what you just said, Carrie, to the nth degree, and it's really, really neat. So hopefully experiences like that, whether or not it's the head of the Charles, but you know, experiences like that, like you said, there's something very serene and calming about watching the row. I don't know about doing it, I've never done it, but at least watching it, it's very calm. So we look forward to that. So more information to come on that.
That's great. Well, there's a distance season in the fall, the head races, and then sprint season in the spring.
Right.
Which is either 1,500 meters generally for high school, but maybe that's stretched to 2,000 for
Whereas in the fall, how far is it?
3.5 miles.
Yeah, so it's a lot different. But when you talk about the gathering of people to watch this, it is very serene and it's very exciting because it's the tenth of a second when people go across that finish line. And it's exciting.
And I'll tell you what, Carrie, you hit on it with the potluck. Walking past the MIT boathouse and the harbor boat, there was a party going on there.
Oh, yeah.
But now there's no
drinking allowed at the head of the Charles. So, for those of us in the high school realm right now, it's okay to bring your kids.
Okay.
Because there's no drinking allowed at these bigger regattas anymore.
Good.
Which is healthier.
Sure.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I know you're both avid Big Red Report listeners. I'm sure you talk about it nightly. Did you hear Coach Blue's report? So you know that we ask a fun question to end.
Yes.
But for those that don't, maybe this is your first time, long time. We will end with a fun question. I will ask each of you, I'll ask the question. You can say the one answer, and then we'll go to the second answer. So the fun question is, what is the best and worst purchases you've ever made? And Carrie, I'll start with you. What is the best purchase you ever made?
I think in 1994, when unfortunately Seth had to have back surgery, and we got him a real leather recliner so he could teach environmental science in our living room. And that was in 1994. And today, that chair is in our TV room, and it is gorgeous. And we're so glad that we got all leather. And sometimes you kind of look at a price tag and go, ah, and then you're like, 30 years later, that was a really good purchase.
Seth, best purchase you ever made?
Best purchase.
I was going to say, besides the ring, of course, that notwithstanding.
Oh, right.
That notwithstanding.
Gosh, I just took the wind right out of my sails. Best purchase. Well, I'll say buying Carrie's dad's Thunderbird her siblings who didn't really want it was not only for the price but for the sentimental value, probably the best vehicle purchase I've ever made.
Okay. And now Seth, we're going to go bang it back to you, and then we'll end with Carrie. The worst purchase you've ever
1975
made.
Fiat Spider with the floor rotted.
I wish you all could see Carrie's face right now.
Well, actually, I wasn't going to say that one. That was so fun to have that car. I was going to say the red convertible you bought when you turned 40.
Well,
because we had to sell it within 6 months.
All right.
It sounds like the Albornes and cars are ebbing and flowing in here. So would that be your worst purchase?
I think the worst purchase was...
I bought that.
He bought it. Okay. He didn't tell me he was going to buy it. He turned 40 and literally went out and got a red convertible. And we lived in New Hampshire. I mean, it was like, really?
Fantastic.
Anyway, we owned it for 6 months, and then we traded it in for a minivan. We had four kids, you know. So the worst purchase, we already had a timeshare, which we loved, through Marriott. And then we got wooed by one of these other timeshare companies, and we bought a week with them, and we've never used it. And we still have our Marriott and love it. That wasn't a thing for Marriott, but
what
that was
the
our,
what was the location of the place?
It was no location.
Oh, okay. It was open.
You just used Stars or something.
Gotcha.
I don't know. We've never used it.
All right. So I got a trip to Florida for Jason, and I got a timeshare to use. I'm
there
making
you go.
Really well
that's right.
Thank
there you
Albert.
Go.
Awesome. This
and
has
a
been
ride
my,
in the Thunderbird.
This has been my favorite podcast to date, because I'm coming out of it with a lot of goodies.
All right.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you both. For not only being great stewards of the school, but being great neighbors to me and my family as well. And first off, thank you both for joining us on the Big Red Report. So
absolutely. Thank
great.
You awesome. For having us.
For Carrie Alborn, Director of Advancement, and Seth Pop Alborn, Director of Curriculum Innovation and Something Else, this is Josh Blumenthal signing off. And as always, be red hot.